Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Nun. We're learning today Lilui Nishmas of Benjamin Weiser, Yisachar Beirish Ben Shmuel Tzvi. All the shams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of all the kochos of Bitachon, Sahal, Shodrim, EMTs that are all being Mosin Nefesh on behalf of Klai Yisrael to free the hostages in Gaza to go and defeat the Rishoyim, Hamas, Yimach Shimon, and Zichram. They should all be safe. They should be successful. They bring back the hostages safely in good health, in Hera. Hashem should give a refuah shleima to all those in need. Hashem should give nechama nebuch to all the families that have given up so much, so many korbanos. Hashem inachem. Okay, so yesterday we'd begun the Mishnah towards the bottom of Mem Tesu Mibbeis. I'll just chaz over briefly the way Rabbah explained the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Now we'll spend a lot of time today discussing this machlokes of Rabbah's understanding of the machlokes from Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva versus what we'll learn. Yesterday we've done Rabbah. Today we're going to learn again Rabbah, and then we're going to learn Rav Yosef, which we didn't do yesterday, his understanding of that machlokes. So just to remind ourselves quickly that Rabbah had said that the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael goes as follows. Kuli alba bar bishus harabim is chayev. According to Rabbah's understanding of this machlokes, there is no machlokes to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael in regards to a bar that was dug in the Rishus HaRabim. The opening is in the Rishus HaRabim. They both agree that any damages that are done, an animal falls in there, shor chamor, that falls into the bar, so then there would be an obligation to go pay for those damages. That's the kuli alma. They're not arguing in the case of bar Rishus HaRabim. They all agree, yechayev. Where's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael? It's only in a bor b'rishus hayochid. In a case of bor in rishus hayochid, the way Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael darshan the psukim, Rabbi Akiva would say yechayev. He says, bal habor yishalim. Even if it's your bor in your rishus hayochid, nevertheless, you are chayev. You are the bal habor yishalim. That's the way Rabbi Akiva darshan the psukim. And even though the opening is in the rishus hayochid, if somebody falls into it, so then you're held liable. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael disagrees, he says, no, the psukim come to teach us that only if it's in the Rishus HaRabim are you chayev. In the Rishus HaYochid, if somebody falls into your bar, well, you shouldn't do this, nevertheless, you're going to be potter. So Rabbah's understanding of this machlokas is that in the Rishus HaRabim, everybody agrees you're chayev, and the machlokas is only in the Rishus HaYochid. Bar Rishus HaYochid, Rabbi Kiv is machayev, and Rabbi Yishmael is potter. It's critical to remember this. We'll go over it a number of times in the Shia today. And now we'll introduce the machlokas between Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Yishmael according to Rabbi Yosef. So we begin on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, six lines from the top of the Amud with the words Rav Yosef Amar. The way Rav Yosef understands the machlokas is as follows. He says, "Bebar birshus hayachid kuli yama lo pligi de mechayev." The exact opposite of Rabbah. He says, in the situation of a bar in Rishus HaYochid, not only does Rabbi Akiva say Yechayev, but even Rabbi Yishmael says Yechayev in that situation. Why? My timer. Because they both dash in the pasuk, Bal HaBar Yishalem, to mean, if you own the bar. So if it's in your Rishus HaYochid, you own the bar, and therefore, Bal HaBar Am Rachmona, so you are going to be Chayev, because it says the owner of the bar will pay. The bar, the Islei Ba'al Maskinan. Everybody agrees, according to Rabbi Yosef, that you'd be chayiv in this situation. Where is there a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael ki plige? Only in the bar b'rishus harabim. The exact opposite of what Rabbi said. Rabbi Yosef says they all agree in b'rishus hayochid, and the machlokas is in b'rishus harabim. Rabbi had said they all agree in b'rishus harabim, and the machlokas is only in b'rishus hayochid. So again, Rabbi Yosef is telling us ki plige b'bar b'rishus harabim. Rav Yosef's understanding is that they're only arguing about when the bor is in the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Yishmael Savar, bor b'Rishus HaRabim, nami chayiv. You're also chayiv, according to Rabbi Yishmael, for the bor in the Rishus HaRabim, based upon the psukim that repeat itself. The pasuk said, v'chi yivtach ish bor, o ki yichre ish bor. And we had pointed out yesterday that this is problematic. Im al psicha chayiv, if just for uncovering an already existing bor, by removing the manhole cover on the bor. So, if you're chayev for that, so then certainly al kriya lo kol shekein, digging the bar, of course you're chayev. So why does the pasuk have to tell me ki yivtach bar o chi yichre? Why does it have to tell me both of them? Tell me just yivtach, and I'll know certainly ki yichre. So it tells us both. Therefore, Ella, Rabbi Shmuel says it comes to teach us shal iske pesicha v'al iske kriya bar lo, that it teaches us that whatever happens, if you uncover it or you dig it, you're going to be chayev. Which means that it has nothing to do with ownership. You don't require bal habor yishalem. The psukim v'chi yivtach ish v'chi yichre ish come to teach us that regardless of whether you own it or not, that's why it says the second time, to teach us that even though you don't own it, al iske psicha, v'al iske kriya bolo. Just the fact that you were involved somehow in making this bar a danger by uncovering it or by digging it. The fact that it tells us by digging it means you don't have to own it. That's Rabbi Yishmael's understanding. Therefore, Rabbi Yishmael says, you're chayim for a bar of Shusarabim. No, Rabbi Kiva? He says, no. The pasuk is Bala Bar Yishalim. Only if you are the owner of the bar are you chayim. And in the Shusarabim, you don't own the bar, and therefore you're not going to be chayim. So what does he do then with the extra words? Kiyivtach v'chayichra. So Rabbi Kiva, he says, no, each of them is a separate chiddush. Hanu mitzvah tzricha, you need each one. Because, dikos v'chamana v'chayivtach, if you only had uncovering the bar, just that, you can't automatically learn that b'chayichra. Why not? Because Rabbi Kiva holds, I would have said, hava mina poseyachu disagi lebekisui. That if you uncover a bar, so all you have to do, if there's a bar there, is to recover it, and then you'd be fine. But if you dug a bar, kora, lo sagi lebekisui, it's not enough to just cover up the bar. Okay, you dug a bar, now you put a manhole cover on the top of it. No, that's not enough. At the time, you have to go and fill it in. The only way you can get around the damage that you had done by making this bar in the Shusarab is not to cover it up, it's to fill it in. So that's why you need to have the chayichra to tell me, no, even in that situation, as long as you covered it up, you're going to be okay. Now, just tell me the chayichra, because of Rechmona chayichra, so then I would have said, havamina, kriya hu debar kisui. It's acceptable to just cover up a bar if you dug it. But guess what? That's because Mishum the oven Maisa, you actually did something there, and therefore you have to cover it up. But Yo Taka, Abu Poseach, if you didn't dig the bar, you just uncovered it, maybe the low oven Maisa, you didn't do anything to make that bar, you just uncovered it. Ema, maybe you might say, Kisui Nami Lo Boy, that you aren't obligated to go cover it up. And if you uncovered it, you would be not chayev for damages because you didn't do a maisa. Uncovering the bar is not considered enough of a maisa. You might have thought. Therefore, kamash malon, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's why you need to say both of them. You also have to tell me, even if you open it up, even though you didn't dig it, you're going to be held liable. So therefore, kamash malon, according to Rabbi Akiva, you need both words, kiyiftach and kiyichra, to teach us this din. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds that a bar in Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be Potiphar, because you need both of these psukim to tell us what the din is in the Rishus HaYochid. It's not free to tell us the din in the Rishus HaRabim. So here we have this machlokis, and we end off like we did the end of the explanation of Rabbah. So then, why did the Mishnah tell us, Ela Mai Zehu Bar HaAmur B'Torah to come Rishmal? What does it mean? This is the bar? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not only the bor in the Rishus HaYochid, it's also the bor in the Rishus HaRabim. So again, the Gemara answers like we did at the end of yesterday's year, Zo bor shepasav v'akasav tchilo l'nizachir. That's the one that the Torah mentions first. So therefore, that's why he says this is the bor. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't include also the other bor. So therefore, bottom line is, again, one last time to say it over, Rabbah tells us the machlokis is only in the Rishus HaYochid. Everybody agrees in the Rishus HaRabim that you're chayiv. And the machlokis, according to Rabbi, is Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv in Rishus HaYochid, and Rabbi Yishmael says you're potter. Rabbi Yossi says the exact opposite. Rabbi Yossi says everybody agrees in Rishus HaYochid that you're chayiv, and it's only in the bar in Rishus HaRabim. There, Rabbi Akiva is potter, and Rabbi Yishmael is mechayiv. Now we're going to spend a lot of the rest of this year until we get to the Mishnah on the Omid Beis discussing these two opinions going back and forth. So first we start off questioning Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is questioned for the following brisa, Meisvei. The brisa tells us, Hachofer bor b'Rishus HaRabim. If a person digs a bor in the ground of the Rishus HaRabim, but the opening, Upsoch l'Rishus HaYochid, the opening is in the Rishus HaYochid. So he's potter. That's what the ratio of this brisa says. You're not obligated to pay if it's in the Rishus HaYochid. Now, right away, you're going to see why this is going to be problematic. Because according to Rabbi Yosef, everybody agrees that you're chayiv in the Rishus HaYochid. So whose opinion could this be that says you're potter? So the ratio of this brisa is going to be the problem. But let's finish the brisa. Then he says, "B'yafa b'ish eino rashay lasos kain." The brisa says, "Don't do this. Still, it's not right because l'v'ish ain osim cholol tachas rishus harabim. It's not right to make caverns and holes underneath rishus harabim, even though the opening isn't there, but it could collapse eventually under the weight, right? So therefore, don't do this. But you're not going to be chayiv. So the brisa's reisha tells us you're potter for making a bor in rishus hayochid. And again, the question will be." According to Rabbi Yosef, everybody says you're chayiv in the Rishus HaYochid. So how is that going to be reconciled, his opinion, with this brisa? Then we have the same for the brisa. It says, if somebody goes digs various types of pits. A bor, as we'll see, is a round pit. Shichin and ma'aros are going to be pits that are in a different type of a structure, covered, not covered, long, elongated. We'll see on the Amud Beis. We'll actually go through this in the next Mishnah. We'll go through all the definitions of these different types of pits that you can build for practical purposes. So now, you just created a pit in the Rishus HaYachid. That's where the bar's bottom is, but the opening is in the Rishus HaRabim. Now here, the Braisa says, you're chayiv. That the person who does this, since the opening is in the Rishus HaRabim, you're chayiv. And if somebody digs these various pits in the Rishus HaYachid that's next to Rishus HaRabim, for example, who does this? People that are building a house and they need to dig down into the area right near the Rishus HaRabim for the foundation. Le'ushin, Rashi tells us, is Shederach Lasus Kain. This is the normative way of doing things. When you're building a house in your private area, you dig right up to the Rishus HaRabim because you need to extend the foundation of the house. So that is allowed, and therefore you're potter if somebody gets damaged in that area. The Braisa concludes and tells us, however, Rav Yossi, who is the son of Rav Yehuda, he says, you're chayiv in that situation, unless, actually, yase mechitza asara, till you make a mechitza separating this hole that you made from the Rishus HaRabim, the mechitza has to be at least 10 tefachim high, so therefore that's considered an adequate separation. Or, alternatively, achiyachik mimokum drisas ragle adam, or until you distance this opening of the ground, this foundation that you're making, unless you distance it, you move it into your property more. And how much do you have to move it in? So the gear set that we have is mimokum drisas ragle behema arbad tefachim. Has to be a distance from the Ragli Adam or the Ragli Behema, has to be enough far away from the Rishus HaRabim of at least 4 Tefachim. That's the Gisra we have. In the Masoras HaShas, he brings down that it should be Arba Amos. It should be 4 Amos. So different Gisras over here, how much you have to distance it away. We'll keep it our Gisra, which is 4 Tefachim. Arba is masculine number, and therefore it means Tefachim. Okay, now, that's the Braisa. Now, I already pointed out where there's going to be a problem with Rav Yosef. But let's show us over here that the Braisa is a problem to Rav Yosef and it's not a problem to Rabba. So, Taimor, the reason we said in the end of this Braisa that if you're Chofer Boros Bershus HaYachid, the ownership is in the Rishus HaYachid, but it's next to, the bor is next to the Rishus HaRabim. In that situation, you're going to be Potter only because it was Ushin. So taimo de l'ushin, only because you made it for the foundation of your house. Implication being, holav li'ushin, that if you're not making it for ushin, for foundation purposes, you would be chayiv, even though you're digging it in your rishus hayochid. So the sefer of this braisa tells us that even though you're digging it in the rishus hayochid, it is something that you're going to be chayiv for. Now, homani, who does this go according to? Bishlama l'rabba. According to Rabba, everything works out fine. The Reisha is Rabbi Yishmael. The Reisha said that Hachofer Rishus HaRabim Upsoch Rishus HaYachid is Potter. In other words, if the opening is Rishus HaYachid, you're going to be Potter. So that works out very well according to Rabba, who says that the Machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is in Rishus HaYachid. So the Reisha, this Braisa, is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says you're Potter. Reisha, Rabbi Shmuel. And the Seifa, which said over here, even though it's next to the Rishus HaRabim, it's in the Rishus HaYachid, and it's not for Ushin, then you're chayiv. Oh, the sefer Rabbi Akiva, because Rabba holds that the machlok is between Rabbi Akiva and Rishmon is in a bar Rishus HaYachid. So here we have the Reisha and the sefer are mutually contradictory to each other. The Reisha says you're potter in the Rishus HaYachid. The sefer says you're chayiv in the Rishus HaYachid. Oh, that's the machlok is between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmon. So even though the Braisa doesn't mention them by name, the only way to understand this Braisa is to say that the Reisha is one opinion, Rabbi Yishmael, and the Seifa is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So the Braisa can be understood according to the opinion of Rabba, where the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Yishmael is in Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, in the Braisa, we have two opinions about Rishus HaYachid, one Chayiv, one Potter. So the one that's Potter, the Reisha, is Rabbi Yishmael, and the one that's Chayiv is Rabbi Akiva. Very good, fine, everything works out well according to Rabba. However, Elo l'Rav Yosef, but according to Rav Yosef, who says that there is no machlokes in the Rishus HaYachid, everybody says Yechayim, so wait a second. So the Sefer is very good. Bishlam HaSefer is the Riyakol. Everybody could be the Sefer that says, if you're doing the Lushin, you're Potter, but if you're not doing the Lushin, then you're going to be Chayim, because it's a bar in the Rishus HaYachid, and everybody says a bar in the Rishus HaYachid is Chayim, according to Rav Yosef. But the Reisha, El Reisha, who's the Reisha? The Reisha is a Potter. It's Lo Rabbi Yishmael, Lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosef says that everybody says Yechayiv in the Shusha Yochid. So who is then the race of the Brisa? It says you potter in the Shusha Yochid. It's not Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Akiva. Kasha on Rabbi Yosef's understanding. So how would Rabbi Yosef answer? So Amaloch Rabbi Yosef would respond and he would say, Kula divrei hakolhi. The entire Brisa is one opinion. It's everyone's opinion. So the Sefer was no problem. We understood why the Sefer is everyone's opinion, because a bar b'Shusha Yochid is Chayiv. According to Rabbi Yosef, both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel say the Sefer. And what about the Reisha? So Kula divrei hakolhi. The Reisha is also divrei hakol. The Reisha shelo hifkir lo rishuso lo boro. The Reisha is talking about where it is totally in the possession still of the person who owns this bar. It's his rishus hayochid. He didn't give anybody the right to walk there. And therefore, since this is his personal private property, and nobody has the right to go and walk there, so therefore, in this situation, you are in fact going to be potter if somebody falls into your bar, because you can say to them, hey, what are you doing on my property? You had no right to be here. I'm allowed to go and dig holes in my property. I'm the only one that's allowed to be on my property. I know where the hole is. So you come into my property, it's your problem, and therefore you're potter. And this would be, even though Rabbi Yosef says, normally a bar in Shusha Yochid is chayiv, that's only people have the right to go there. You retain the ownership of the bar, but you allow people to walk there, so then you're going to be chayiv, according to everybody. But if you own the bar, and you did not give permission to people to go there, you are not going to be held liable if somebody, an animal or person, falls into the bar and gets hurt. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, now that you're telling me that you can answer the Braisa to be Divrei HaKol, according to Rav Yosef, Kashta do Kimto, the Rav Yosef, the Divrei HaKol, now you're telling me the Reisha and the Sefer both are according to Divrei HaKol, so then guess what? The Rabba Nami, lo Sukmo B'tanoi. So then we don't have to answer the way we did before, which is a little bit of a Doyachak Teretz, to say in an unnamed Braisa that the Reisha is a different author than the Sefer. Because the way we had answered it before was, the Reisha, according to Rabba, was Rabbi Yishmael, who says your potter, and the Sefer of that same Braisa, without mentioning a different name, was saying is Rabbi Akiva. So we don't have to give that Doyachak Teretz right now. Because the Rabba Nami, lo Sukmo B'tanoi. Even Rabba can say that it's all divrei hakolhi, because midereisha Rabbi Yishmael. If the reisha is Rabbi Yishmael, because the reisha says he's potter and Rabbi Kiva says yichayev, so the reisha must be Rabbi Yishmael. So then, sefer nami Rabbi Yishmael. We'd explain the sefer is also being Rabbi Yishmael. Why is that? Because we said that the only reason why we held that you're potter was if you were building it leushin on your rishus hayochid. Implication being halad leushin. If it wasn't for this foundation, yichayev. But that doesn't have to be only according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. That could even be according to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, because kigom the arva. You know what you did over here? So Rashi explains, because you're going so close into the Rishus HaRabim. So it's actually opening up into the Rishus HaRabim. When you're doing it Le'ushin, so then you're going to be potter, because you have the right to encroach, so to say, on the Rishus HaRabim. However, when you're not doing it for the foundation, which is not then the normal way to go and do it into the Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, if you're going into the Rishus HaRabim, so then even Rabbi Yishmael would say Yechayiv, because according to Rabbah, everybody holds the Rishus HaRabim Yechayiv. So the only reason why it's in the Rishus HaRabim in your potter is if you did it Le'ushin. You have the right to build on your own private property, its foundation, and it can extend a little bit into the Rishus HaRabim. Everybody knows that, and that's routine, and therefore, in that situation, you're potter, because you had this special dispensation for Ushin, for building this foundation. But if you don't have that special dispensation, then it's a regular bar b'shus harabim, which Rabbah says, l'kuliyama, you're going to be chayiv. So therefore, the brisa can be learned is either all according to Rav Yosef, divrei hakolhi, or all according to Rabbah, divrei hakolhi. And you don't have to give the doyachak teretz that the reisha of the brisa, which is unnamed, that it's a different author than the sefer of the brisa, is two different authors. No, we can learn it according to both of them, that it's one author. So no problem. Another Kasha on Rav Yosef. Basically, another Bryce that it seems to go against what Rav Yosef said. Hachofer bar b'shus hayochid. If a person digs a bar in the property of his in the shus hayochid, but the opening upsach l'shus harab, the opening is in the shus harabim, so chayiv. So again, we're dealing here where the opening is in the shus harabim, and therefore you're chayiv. Now, according to Rav Yosef, this can only be the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, who says you're chayiv in the shus harabim. Rabbi Akiva would say that you're potter in the shus harabim. Now, Rishus HaYochid has smucha Rishus HaRabim, but if you're digging it in the Rishus HaYochid that is next to Rishus HaRabim, so it's in the Rishus HaYochid, so then it's going to be potter. Now, this is problematic, because according to Rav Yosef, digging a bor in Rishus HaYochid, everybody says Yechayiv. So whose authorship is this in the Sefer of this Braisa that says you're potter if you dig it in the Rishus HaYochid? It's samuch Rishus HaRabim, but it's in the Rishus HaYochid, and everybody should say Yechayiv, and yet it says potter. So again, go through the Gemara's understanding. Bishlamo l'Rabba, everything works out well according to Rabba. Kula Rabbi Shmuel. This is all the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. When you're digging the bor in the Rishus HaYochid and opening it up into Rishus HaRabim, so there's a bor Rishus HaRabim and a bor Rishus HaRabim, Rabba says everybody agrees you're chayiv. And then when you have the second part that says, if it's in the Rishus HaYochid, Samach Rishus HaRabim, your potter, okay, that goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. So no problem. The Reisha could be Likuli Alma, and the Seifa is according to Rabbi Yishmael. So the Reisha is Likuli Alma, which means it goes according to Rabbi Yishmael, and the Seifa is according to Rabbi Yishmael. So therefore, no problem. Bishlamo l'Rabba, Kula Rabbi Yishmael. We can explain the Braisa as well being the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. And the Reisha, by the way, is also the opinion of Rabbi Akiva too. But it's one Braisa all said over in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. El Rav Yosef, but according to Rav Yosef, we got a problem. Bishlama Reisha or Rabbi Shmuel. We understand why the Reisha, which says that the opening is in the Shus HaRabim, goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rav Yosef, if you have a bor b'Shus HaRabim, Rabbi Shmuel is Mechayiv and Rabbi Kiva is Potter. So the Reisha has to be Rabbi Shmuel. But then you got a problem. El Seifa, the Seifa says that we're dealing here with a bor b'Shus HaYachid. So b'Shus HaYachid, so according to Rav Yosef, Kuli Amma would be chayiv el sefer mani. So then the sefer says your potter. It's not lo Rabbi Akiva and lo Rabbi Shmuel, lo Rabbi Akiva. It's neither of them. In that situation, who is the author of the sefer of the brisa? So again, Rav Yosef has no problem. Unlike Rav Yosef, he says no. Bechofer leushin. This brisa is torment. You're digging it for the foundation. Oh, the reason why if you're digging it for the foundation, you're potter because Divrei HaKol says you're potter in that situation. So therefore, the brisa is talking about that you did it specifically. The digging that was next to the Rishus HaRabim was for a foundation, leushin, and therefore, if it's leushin, Divrei HaKol that you're potter. Oh, so therefore, no problem with the brisa. Now the Gemara brings down a very interesting brisa that will lead us into a fascinating, famous case that we have a number of places of Shas. Very interesting. Ma'aseh Shehoyah. Talmud Rabbanan. Brisa starts off with the following. Chofar, if a person dug a pit for water purposes, so it would store water and be a well for the rabbin. Upasach, he dug this pit and he opened it up. And umasar l'rabim, he gave it over to the rabbin. What does it mean he gave it over to the rabbin? So Rashi explains all the way towards the bottom, four lines up from the bottom of the wide lines. Rashi says, umasar l'rabim, the omar livnei iro, he tells the people of the city, listen, habor zeh shechafarti, this pit that I dug for you, which is a well, he's essentially making a reservoir for the public to use. Tsarich lochem lishtos, if you needed to drink from, Negishamim Hamiskansim Shom, the rainwater that will gather over there, so in the rainy season it will fill up with water, and then when there's the dry season, you can all use this water for drinking water for yourselves and for your animals. Ruil lishtos behemos mehen, and your animals could go drink from here. Harehu masur lochem, and they agree, they need this well, they say thank you very, very much, and he digs this and he gives it over to the rabbin, and the rabbin wants it, and then Nebuch, somebody falls in, an animal falls in and breaks its leg. So then Potter, the one who dug it, is Potter because he did it for the rabbin, handed it over to the rabbin, and the rabbin accepted it. However, if he just dug a well, he dug a pit over here, Chofar u'pasach. When I say a well, it doesn't mean that there's spring water coming up. It means it's just a collecting basin for the rainwater. So Chofar u'pasach, v'lo masal l'rabim. If he dug it and he opened it up, but did not hand it over to the rabbin, then he's doing it for his own personal drinking water. If somebody falls in, an animal or a person falls in, chayim, you're going to be chayim in that situation for the damages you caused. Now, the Braisa then says, V'chein min hago, show the famous Nechunya Chofer Boros Shichin Umaros. This was the accepted practice of this very, very nice person, this Nechunya, who went and dug these boros, these wells, these shichin, these various other types of ditches, and maros, these covered areas where the rain could come in, and then they would cover it up, and there would be a side entrance that you could go in and get the water out from these maros. So he was a very nice person, and he wanted to make sure that all the people going to be Ola Yerushalayim, to Ola Regel, would have water. So he dug these various types of collecting basins in the ground to collect the water. Shayachofer uposeyach, he would dig them and open them up. Umosel Rabbim, then hand them over to the Rabbim who accepted it. And when the Chachamim heard about what he was doing, ukishushamu Chachamim badavar, when the rabbis heard what he was doing, Amar, the rabbis said, oh, Kiyem zeh halachazu. This is a wonderful thing that he did. He fulfilled this halacha of properly digging a well in the Rishus HaRabim. Mor says, halachazu v'sulah, what? This is the only thing that this Nechunya did? He was a big tzaddik. So Gemara says, yeah, Ela'ema, af halachazu. He was medaktik in everything, including this halacha, to make sure that he didn't incur any liability and that he informed the public about it so everybody knows that it's there and they accepted it and they want to have it. So therefore, he has done this exactly in the proper way to prevent damage as much as possible. Now, Tana Rabban, we have another brisa. Maisa bebito shol nechunya chofer shichin. Now, there is a little bit of a machlokis as to whether this is the same person, but the simple understanding is that this is the same person. So this Maisa with the daughter of this Nechunya, who was the one who dug these public reservoirs for the people to have the rainwater collecting over there, Shenofla lebar gado, she once fell into one of these burrows that, not necessarily that he dug it, but she fell into one of these big pits that was filled with water. And Bovadius Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, and they went to the great Balmofes, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. He's famous throughout Shatz for unbelievable miracles that he was able to create. He's the famous Rabbi Chanina Mendoza who said that his daughter once lit the Shabbos candles with vinegar, and she came running to him crying, and he said to her, listen, what are you worried about? What are you upset about? The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who makes oil light makes vinegar light. It's no more innate that the vinegar should light, then the oil should light. Everything is an ace. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was on such a high madrega. And it says that that vinegar burnt all Shabbos and they made Havdalah from that light. In any event, this great Baal Mofes, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, was told that the daughter of Nechunya, Chofer Shichin, had fallen into the well. Now, Shah Rishona, after the first hour, Lav Dafka means hour, after some period of time, Amar Lehem Shalom, don't worry, there's not enough time for her to have drowned, she still could come out alive. No, Shnia, after the second hour or second period of time, Amar Shalom. No, still enough time for her to come out, not necessarily that she drowned. After Shlishis, however, after the third hour, the third period of time, when there's no way that she could have survived underwater, Amar Lehem also. It must be that she has come out. So Rabbi Chanina Mendoza predicted, as we'll see accurately, that she was alive. She had come out of this large reservoir, this Bor Gadol, and she was safe and sound. Now, how did he know this? So we'll see in a moment what they tell him. So she gets up out of there, and they find her. And everybody comes rushing to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, and they tell him, hey, how, she survived. So Amrullah. So they went to the girl, and they said, how'd you get out? Mi halach. Who took you out? So Amrullah, so she told everybody, Zohar shel Rechelim. A Zohar means an isle, a ram, of the ram species, or the sheep species, Nizdaminle. An isle was there, Vizokin Echad Manhigo, and an older man was leading this ram. And Rashi brings down that this ram was the isle of the Akedah, of Yitzchak's Akedah on the top of Har Moriah, and that was the Elosho Yitzchak, and the Zokain was Abram Avinu. Now, some of the Farshim say that this was Malachim that appeared like that. Others say that there was the Zchus of the Akedah that saved her. In any event, that's what she said happened. Amrulo, so they all went to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza and said, hey, Navi Anto, are you a Navi? This was well after the time of Nevuah. So they said, are you a Navi that you're able to go and know that this girl was saved? So he said, Chas v'shalom. He said, no, I'm not a Navi. Amalem lo Navi Anochi, lo Ben Navi Anochi. This is a play on the famous words from Amos where he says, I'm not a Navi, I'm not a Ben Navi. So he uses, he paraphrases those words. And he says, I'm not a Navi, I'm not the son of a Navi. However, Elo kach amarti, this is what must have happened. This is what I'm saying over here. Dovar sha'oso tzadik mitzdarbo, yikosho bozaro. Is it possible to think for a second that something was just tzadik, this Nechunya chofer shichin, he was mitzdarbo. As Rashi says, he was going out of his way, troubling himself. Lachpor boros umoros loli regolim. He was such a kind person. He wanted to make sure that everybody was all orega and that there'd be enough water for them on the routes to go to Yerushalayim. So he dug all of these wells in the public areas, these pits that would contain the reservoir water. So he dug all of them. He was doing such a mitzvah. His daughter should die. Yikosho bozaro? Impossible. And therefore, I knew for a fact that there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in this way, that she would die in one of those types of pits that he had been digging all of his life for the betterment of the Rabbim, that she should die in such a pit. That's what Rabbi Chanina Mendoza said. However, the Gemara then adds, Amar Rabbi Acha. Rabbi Acha says, nevertheless, even with this principle that Chanina Mendoza outlined, that there's no way the daughter could have died in a well like this, in a pit like this, Afa Pike, nevertheless, Mase Bino Batsoma, Rabbi Nechunya, this Nechunya Chofer Shichim, so his own son died in thirst. Now, it's not the exact same thing. He didn't die in a well. He didn't die in one of these pits that Nechun Yechov Hashichin had dug, but he nevertheless died of thirst, which seems to be somewhat against what we just said. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza just said it's impossible for this thing to happen. So the Gemara will give us several explanations. Rabbi Acha gives one. He says this is based upon the idea Shenemar Usvivov Nisara Ma'od. Famous pasuk from Tilim that says around that Kodesh Baruch Hu, it is extremely stormy. Nisara, a sar with a samach, means a storm. So around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisara Ma'od, but it's spelled with a sin. So the word sar with a samach means a storm. Sin and samach are sometimes interchangeable, but here it's teaching us the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges people that are around him. In other words, tzaddikim gedolim, great people that are very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he judges them with chut hasar, with the sin. So the word nisara with the samach means stormy, and with the sin, it also gives us the additional idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, medaktek im svivav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very medaktek. He is very, very particular with the people that are around him. In other words, great gedolim, afilu kichut hasara, to the point where he judges them on such a fine hair. So if a great, 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 great person does something incorrect, which really is such a minor thing, but for such a great person, it's considered not something that they should have done. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them in this world, so they shouldn't have any punishments in the world to come. And that's what Rabbi Acha says happened over here with the son of Nechun Yechov Hashichin, that on some level, this great Nechun Yechov Hashichin must have done something wrong. He's judged b'chut asara. He's judged very, very particularly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why his son passed away in this world and is spared the trials and tribulations of having to go through any punishment in the Olam HaEmes, and therefore all of his reward is in the Olam HaEmes. That's what Rabbi Acha tells us. And this concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu judging tzaddikim b'chut asara is a very well-known concept. This is the source of that idea. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechunya Omar, he says there's a different pasuk, similar idea, but he says it's from the following pasuk. This is a pasuk that we have also from Tehillim, a different kapitel, where it says, Kel na'arotz b'sod kedoshim rabah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much held in awe in the Kedoshim Rabbah, in the area where the great people are, the Noral Kosiva, and he's held in tremendous awe by all those that surround him. In other words, the great tzaddikim are held to a higher level of compliance with everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants than a lesser person. So if a lesser person does something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to just forgive it, but it's not considered a sin on his lower level. But a person on such a high madrega, if he does something that's a little bit wrong, so then they're judged very, very strictly to be punished in this world and to save all this chusim for the world to come. Similarly, Amar Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says, Kol Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vitronu. If anybody says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somebody who says, no problem, don't worry about it. If somebody says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just willing to be mevater on a sin, say, no problem, I'll just forgive that without you doing tshuva. So Yivatru Chayim, that person essentially is saying that his life is meaningless also. If you're telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about something, so then basically that person is saying that my life doesn't have any purpose to it, because the pasuk from the end of Sefer Dvarim tells us, Shedemar Hatsur Tomim Palo Kichol Ruchav Mishpat. So the pasuk over here towards the end of Dvarim tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tomim Palo. Everything is perfect. There's no mistakes. There's no Vitronhu. And therefore, Kichol Ruchav Mishpat. Everything is exact justice. So therefore, anybody that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks the other way, so to say, that is absolutely incorrect, and you're basically being a kofer. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Chana, others say Vitema, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeini, either it was Rabbi Chana or Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeini, they said, Maida said, what does the pasuk mean? We turn to Nun Amud Beis. When the pasuk tells us, the famous Yud Gimel Midos, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Hashem, Kel Rachum Chanun, Erech Apayim. Why does it use the plural Apayim? It should have said, V'lo Kesiv, Erech Af. When you think about it, why did it say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using the plural term apayim as opposed to the singular term af? So why does it tell us this lashon erech apayim? He's very slow to get angry in the plural form rather than the singular form. So the Gemara says, because there's a double lashon over here, apayim, erech apayim l'sadikim ul rishayim. He's slow to give reward to the tzaddikim, that means in this world, they suffer in this world sometimes, and their reward is saved for the world to come, as opposed to the Rishayim, he is very, very slow to show them any anger in this world, because he's going to give them all their anger, all their punishment in the world to come. Again, this is a general idea of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. This Erech HaPayim applies to both the tzaddikim and the Rishayim. The tzaddikim, in general, are punished more in this world, and they don't have it so good in this world because all their reward is for the world to come, and they don't get punished in the world to come. And pum fakir by the Rishayim, they have it sometimes good in this world because the Kosh Baruch Hu gives them all their reward, whatever they have done good in this world, and then all their punishments and all their troubles are for the Olam Hanitzchus, for the future world where they'll be punished forever. So therefore, we have this idea of Erech HaPayim. Again, this is a principle how Kosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You can never apply it to any individual person. And we have the age-old question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kosh Baruch Hu, Tzadik Beralo, Rosh HaVitovlo, how can that possibly be? So this is part of that answer. Okay, one more b'risa. Tanu Rabban. Lo yisokil adam mirishus alushus harabim. A person shouldn't go and take stones from his rishus, and his private rishus, and throw them into rishus harabim. And Ma'isa Biyodim Echad, once was the person that did this. Shehoya misakil mirishus, so we take the stones out of his private area and chuck them into the rishus harabim. So along comes a chassid, umetzol chassid echad, a certain chassid finds him and says to him, what are you doing? Amalo reik. He says, you foolish person, you empty-headed person. Mipnei ma atom esakom yushus she'ena shelcha lushus shelcha. What are you doing? You're throwing from something that doesn't belong to you into something that does belong to you. Now, Ligalegalov, the person who was throwing the stones, laughed at him and he says, what are you talking about? This is my property. I'm taking stones from my property, and I'm throwing them into Rishus HaRabim. You don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Tzaddik over here, Mr. Chassid over here. What are you talking about? That I'm the empty person? You're telling me that I'm throwing from something that's not my Rishus into something that's my Rishus? It's the exact opposite. However, the Chassid was correct. Liyomim nitzrach limkor sadeyu. In a couple of days, in a short period of time, this person who owned this field that he was throwing the rocks from into the Rishus HaRabim lost his field. He became destitute and had to sell his field. And now, boy, b'halach b'os Rishus HaRabim. Now, the only Rishus he has is the Rishus HaRabim. And as he's walking the Rishus HaRabim, the nirshal b'os avon him, and he trips over those very stones that he had thrown in there. And now this person realized, this person who previously owned the field, this the one that the chassid called the reika, he said, no, Taki, he was right. The chassid was right. Omar, yofel omar li osu chassid. That chassid, in fact, was 100% correct. You're throwing stuff that you think is yours? No, it's not yours. You should say, yachid, you think it's yours? The galgal mistove, the wheel turns. One day you're on the top of the wheel, the next day you're at the bottom of the wheel. One day you're very rich, and the next day and instantly you can become very, very poor. So therefore, misakol mirishus she'enu shelcha, you think you're throwing it from your rishus? No, that rishus isn't yours. Rishus shelcha, the only thing that you'll always have is rishus harabim. That belongs to everybody. Nobody can take that away from you. So therefore, you're a fool for doing what you did. This story has obviously deeper meaning, but on a simplistic level, it's telling us a person should be very careful not to do any damage to rishus Rabbim, because after all, that's really the only thing that you will ever have a share in is the Rishus HaRabim, because all the Rishus HaYachas that you think belong to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take them away in a second. Okay, let's go on to the next Mishnah. HaChofer Bor Rishus HaRabim. If somebody digs, again, this pit in the Rishus HaRabim for the purposes of let's say, having water inside it for usage, collected as a reservoir. And then, v'nofal esocho shor hachamor, and a shor hachamor falls into it. That's based upon the pasuk. It says, v'chi yiftach ishbar, o chi yichre ishbar, v'lo yichasenu, and then, v'nofal shom ashar o chamor. That's the typical type of animal that falls in there. That's why the Torah mentions those two. That then applies to all animals as well. So, if a shor hachamor falls into this well, that you dug without permission, in the Rishus HaRabim, so chai, you have to go pay off the damages. Anything that you cause damage to the animal, to the shor or the chamor. Echad hachofer bar. Now, this includes somebody that dug a bar, which we'll now explain. Rashi tells us that a bar is a circular type of a pit. Rashi in the Charitzim and Itzim, Dibra Maskel, tells us a bar is agulhu, it's round. And then, if you dug, the next word in the Mishnah is shiach, so Rashi tells us shiach is arucha, it's an elongated type of a ditch, uktsara, and it's narrow. That's a shiach. So whether one dug a bar or a shiach, or ma'ara is the next one, Rashi tells us ma'ara is mirubas, it's square, umuchusa bekorui, and it has a covering on it, like a ceiling to it. So after you dig it, you then cover it up. So that's Ma'ora. Or Charitzin. Rashi says, the Yeshla Peh. So the Ma'ora has an opening on the side. And Charitzin are Rechavin Umruban. They're wide and they're also square. Kimara, just like Kimara. However, they ain't no Mercurian. They're not covered up. Elo Alpiv Pasuach. They're open on the top. So that's the difference between a Charitz and a Ma'ora. And finally, the last one, Uni Itzin. So Rashi tells us, Kitsarin milamata, they're very narrow at the bottom, v'ruchavim milamata, they're like an upside-down pyramid. So they're very wide at the opening, but they narrow as you go towards the bottom. So the Mishnah tells us, a person who dug any one of these types of diggings, bor, shiach, ma'ora, charitzin, unitzin, which we just explained what they were in Rashi, chayiv. You're going to be chayiv for any shor or chamar that falls into them. Now, MK, then why did the Torah say, Loman Emar Bar? Why does the Torah specifically mention Bar? Isn't it the same din for all of them? So Mishnah tells us, no. Ma Bar Sheishbo, the reason that it mentions just Bar is to teach us the paradigm. Ma Bar Sheishbo Kidei Lohomitz, Asor Etvachim. A Bar has to be deep enough to be able to go and cause death. So that has to be a depth of 10 Tvachim. It's about a meter, right? It's about 3.5 to 4 inches in a tefach. So if you have 10 tefachim, it's about 35 to 40 inches, which is about a meter. So then in this situation, that defines it as being a damaging agent that could go kill an animal. So this is the paradigm. Bar includes shiach, ma'ara, charitzin, and itzin as well. Has to be asara tefachim, kidei lohamis, asara tefachim. Now, if it's less than asara tefachim, if you dug something that was less than 10 tefachim deep, less than a meter deep, and the nofal lesocho shor hamar v'meis, and a shor hamar falls into it and nevertheless dies, even though it didn't have sufficient depth to go and kill the animal, so then in fact you're potter because this is an onus. Something unusual happened over here, and it shouldn't have died from such a small, relatively small fall, and therefore you're not held accountable for the death of the Shor HaChamor. However, if it got damaged in it, then you would be chayiv. If the animal only, let's say, broke its leg by falling into this relatively shallow type of a pit, so then you would be chayiv for that damage. Okay, a lot of things we said here in the Mishnah, Gemara is now going to discuss it. Amar Rav. Rav tells us, we have a famous machlokas over here between Rav and Shmuel, exactly how does the pit do the damage? Shmuel is going to say the opinion that everybody would normally think, it's because of the fall. And Rav has a very interesting sheet. He says it has nothing to do with the fall. The actual fall, the knocking, whatever part of your body on the bottom, that's karka olam. That's not what caused the damage. That was there beforehand, and that's only a groma that you opened it up. And that, therefore, would be potter. The reason why you chayev Amar Rav is because of bar shechiva olav haTorah, the bar that the Torah says that you chayev for, if the animal dies, that you have to go and pay for the shor and the chamar, is lehevlo, is because of the atmospheric changes, the hevel, the poor air that's at the bottom of the pit that you dug that caused the animal to die. Velo lechavato, but not the knocking of the head or the breaking of the neck. That isn't what actually causes the animal to die. Obviously, the animal breaks its neck. The animal has a sufficient trauma that it dies. But Rashi explains Rav over here as that Rav says the hevel contributed. And since the hevel is what caused the animal to die, ultimately, the animal, therefore, is considered to have died because of the hevel and not purely the chavata. And therefore, Rav's sheet is it's the hevel that causes the animal to die, not the chavata. Alma Kasava, you see that Rav therefore holds Chavota Karka Olamhu. The actual trauma, that was the ground that was there. And it's only a groma binizakin, the maskele. And therefore, the ground is an indirect cause of the animal's death. Groma binizakin, your potu midine adam. So that is Rav's understanding. Again, probably not what I would say 100% of the people listening to this year would have thought on their own. And Shmuel says what you would have thought on your own. Shmuel Amar, Lehevlo, yeah, yes, there's this atmospheric changes at the bottom of the pit. There's a decreased oxygenation. There's a lot of foul smell there at the bottom of the pit. So there's toxic, noxious gases at the bottom of the pit. Fine. Lehevlo, but certainly, Vekoshke, Lehevlo, but certainly the trauma, the actual falling on the karka is what causes the death as well. You're going to tell me, Vim Tomar, Lehevlo, Omra Torah, Velo Lehevlo. So maybe it's only the Chavata and not the Hevel. So maybe Shmuel should be 100% disagreeing with Rav. Rav says it's the Hevel, and Shmuel says, no, it's not the Hevel, it's the Chavata. But that's not what Shmuel says. Shmuel says it's the Hebel and the Chavata. So how do you know that? Because HaTorah Yida Albar Vafilu Mole Sfugin Shol Tzemer. Because even in the case where the bottom of the bar has cushions in it, it's filled with tufts of wool. So the Sfugin Shol Tzemer are going to protect the trauma from occurring. Nevertheless, the animal dies, so the Torah doesn't distinguish. It says, V'chiyivtach, or V'chiyichre bar, V'lo yichasenu, V'nafal shom v'sharu chabar, Bala bar yishalem, you pay no matter what. So it's talking about all eventualities, including where there's a cushion at the bottom, Sfugin Shol Tzemer at the bottom. So therefore, Shmuel tells us, that the Torah tells us, regardless of whether it's the Hevel or the Chavata, if the animal dies, Yechayiv. Whereas Rav says, it's only because of the Hevel, and not the Chavata. The Chavata is only Groma B'Nizokin, and you would technically be Potter. Nu, what's the Nafgamina between Rav and Shmuel? They both say that you're Chayiv, so there might be Nayu. What's the Nafgamina? So the Mar says the Nafgamina is equal to Nayu. The difference would be the Ovad Gova B'Rishus Rabim. If you created a platform in the Rishus Rabim, so you built something up, you built a structure up, and now the animal falls off this structure and dies by hitting its head or whatever, it has trauma on the floor of the Rishus HaRabim, which is no Hevel. It's not dug down. You dug up. You built up. And then it fell down. So therefore, L'Rav, Agova Lo M'Chayiv. Rav says that the Chavata wouldn't make you Chayiv. So therefore, if you built a platform and the animal fell off the platform and knocked its head and died, Rav would say you're Potter. It's only a Groma B'Nizokin. The ground was already there. And you just caused the animal to hit the ground. That's an indirect causation. And you'd be Potter, according to Rav. Uli Shmuel, Agova Nami Mechayev. Shmuel says, no, the Chavata is making you Chayev, so you'd be Chayev in this situation. This is one Nafkamina. The Tosa says, in Dibra Maskel, Ikrenayu, the Ovad Gova, so Tosa says, Hochanami, have a Matzah Lemeima. You could have given us other scenarios as well. The Gemara just chose to give one. You could have given us a scenario, the Nafal Derech Achorov. The animal fell backwards into the pit. In other words, it slid into the pit, so its head is still in the area where the Hevel is good. And it dies because its body is crushed or broken. The Rav lo mechayiv in that situation because ela derech panav. You'd only be chayiv according to Rav if the animal breathed the noxious gases at the bottom of the pit. Here, its head is high up, and it died because it broke its back. So the ikar hevel only in a situation where the face is down. So that would be an afkamina. Shmuel would say you chayiv, and Rav would say you potter. Or alternatively, Tosa says inami babar. Dealing with a pit that was wider, Sherochva Yosa Amuka, and there's no Hevel, the Lekka Hevel in that situation. So therefore, that would have also been an Afkamina. If there's no Hevel, Rav would say you're Potter, and Shmuel would say no, the Chavata makes you Chayiv. So therefore, this would be other Nafkaminas between them. The Tosa says the Gemara just chose to pick one. The Gemara only took one. Okay, now, what is the rationale over here for Rav? We explained why Shmuel says it's both Chavata and Hevel. So my time with the Rav, what's Rav's understanding over here? D'amakra, the pasuk says, V'nofal shomashor o chamor. The lashon of V'nofal implies achipol derech tefila. It has to be a normal way of falling, which is the head goes first, which teaches us that it's not just simple Chavata. It's specifically talking about the Hevel, that the animal should be breathing these noxious gases, this Hevel at the bottom of the pit, and that's what causes it to die. Knew what Shmuel do with the word v'nofal. Well, Shmuel v'nofal called to mashma. He says the word v'nofal implies any way that it falls, head first, feet first, makes no difference. We're now questions, Rav. Tonight we learned in our Mishnah, imkain lom and emar bar. We asked why did our Mishnah use the terminology of bar? So we had said ma bar sheish bo kedei lohamis asar tvachim av kol sheish bo kedei lohamis asar tvachim. So this was the paradigm to teach us that just like a bar has depth of 10 tvachim to be able to kill, an animal could die in it. So too all the other types of diggings have to have at least 10 tvachim to them. Now bishlam l'shmul according to Shmuel works out well. It says ma bar sheish bo kedei lohamis asar tvachim av kol sheish bo kedei lohamis asar tvachim. We understand the av kol is lesuya gova. That's to come to teach us if you build a platform, it's the same thing. It's a depth of 10 tefachim that it fell. Doesn't make a difference if it fell from a platform onto the flat ground or fell from the flat ground into a pit. So Shmuel, we understand why it says, Av kol sheyesh bo kedei lohamis. But El Rav, Av kol esu yamai. What does Rav come to include? After all, the platform is not included. So Gemara says, no, he's coming to include lasu yecharitzin uniitzin. It's coming to include these various types of charitzin, which are the unsealing, the square areas like a ma'arad, but they don't have a ceiling, and then uniitzin, which are, Rashi had said, these upside-down pyramid-type of pits where the bottom is very narrow and the top is very wide. So that's why Rav says you need to tell us, af kol. It comes to include that. The Gemara says, but it said a beferish in the Mishnah. Charitzu nitzin, the hedjik tani lo. So Gemara says, no, that's exactly what Rav is telling us. Tani, it tells us it's din. V'hal demefarsh, then it explains where the din applies. So Rav has no problem with the Mishnah. Gemara says, v'hani kulu diktani lovely. So why actually did the Mishnah have to give us a listing of all of those different types of pits? Why was it enough to say bar alone? So the Gemara says, tzricha, everyone has a chiddush that the other one didn't have. So, tzricha, you need each one. Because the itana bar, if it just said bar, which is a circular pit, hava, I mean, I would have said, bar asaru, hu diis behevol. In such a circular pit, at the bottom of it, it has this noxious gas, this hevel, that can cause death. Mishum dekotin ucharicha, because it is very small and it's round, so therefore the air doesn't have a chance to circulate. There's not good ventilation there, because it's small and it's round. Avol shiach, which is long, the arich, it's much longer. So ema basara, less behevel. I would have said, maybe because it's so long, it doesn't have hevel at the bottom of it. So therefore, you have to tell me shiach. No, just tell me shiach, vitona shiach. I would have said havamina. You know what? Shiach is asara hu dis behevel, because there, a shiach has the hevel at the bottom of it. Mishum dekata, because it's very narrow. Avol ma'ara, the meraba, which is wide, it's square, so therefore there's a good ventilation, and maybe there's no hevel at the bottom. Ema basara, less behevel. It doesn't have the hevel. Therefore, you have to tell me over here the ma'ara too. No, just tell me the ma'ara. Pitan ma'ara, I would say, hava amina, ma'ara basara, who the is behevla, because mishum de mitzlala, because it has a ceiling to it, it's covered up. So therefore, that's why the ventilation is poor. Avol the charitza, which are the same thing as the ma'ara, except they don't have a covering, the lo metalale, there is no cover on it. I would have said, you know what? Ema biasara, less buavla, it doesn't have the hevel. Therefore, you have to tell me the charitza. No, finally, bitan charitza, if you only had the charitza, Kavamina would have said, Charitzin asaruhu diisbu bahavla. They have a depth of 10 tvachim. They have the hevel over there. Mishum de lesbu revicha mil'el tfei mitatoi. Because it's wide at the top, just like it's wide at the bottom. So the air can go circulate. So therefore, you have to tell me that that has hevel. Avol de'itzim, the revicha mil'el tfei mitatoi. There's a very wide opening at the top, and it's narrow at the bottom. I would have said, maybe there's such good circulation over there that there is no hevel at the bottom of these ni'itzin. Ema basara less. Therefore, Kamash 1, you have to tell me the Ni'itzin as well. So each one has a Chiddush over the other one. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, if it's less than 10 Tvachim and an animal died, so that's an onus, this unusual occurrence over here. It shouldn't have died. It wasn't deep enough for it to have died. Therefore, Potter. In that situation, you Potter. But in Husakbo, but if it got damaged, it didn't die, then Chayiv. Now, wait a second. What's the reasoning that it says that if it falls into a pit that's less than 10 tvachim, then you're potter? Isn't it because lav mishum de less bechavata, because it's not a sufficient distance to go and cause trauma? One would assume that the hevel is still there, but the trauma is not there. That's why you're potter. So kasha and rav. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not true. Mishum de less bechavata. No, because there's no hevel over there. That's why you're potter. It's not just the chavata, it's talking about the hevel. Gemara says, if that's so, ihachi im huzak bo chayiv. So then we said, but if there's damage, you are chayiv. Why should that be? Holes behavla. The damage comes from the hevel. So, but there is, in this situation, a chayiv, but you just said that there's no hevel there. So Gemara says, no, there's different levels of hevel. So Amre, ain havlo lemisa, there isn't enough to go and kill. However, v'yesh havlo, but there's enough noxious gases over there to somehow facilitate the trauma in order to go and make the hevel responsible lenizakin. Okay. How Torah did not only Arisa did Daloi. The ones with the Maisa Shaya, where an axe fell into this Arisa did Daloi, which is like an irrigation ditch that is by definition 6 tvachim wide and 6 tvachim deep. That's why it's called an Amma in many places, because there's 6 tvachim and an Amma. So this is called an Amma. These irrigation ditches were known as an Amma. In any event, this Shar, this Torah, fell into such an irrigation ditch, and the owner said, uh-oh, I better go shecht it before it dies, and I won't get a total loss. So shachti mori. So the owner shechted it right away. And Tarfi Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, no, you don't know the halacha. The halacha is, if an animal doesn't move after it has a traumatic incident, you have to wait 24 hours to see if it dies. If it doesn't die within 24 hours, then you're allowed to go shecht it. It's not called a masukah. And you didn't wait 24 hours. The animal didn't move after it fell in here. So therefore, I'm tarfing up your shechita. It's not a kosher animal. This is one of the yudches trefos that the Gemara in Chulin tells us about. So tarfi Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that it is in fact a trefa. You can't go and shech this animal because you didn't wait 24 hours. And Rav Nachman adds, and he says, I'm a Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Ishoko mori dahi tori, if the owner of this ox had just taken kaba de kimcha, a kav's worth of flour, for ozel Tana Bei Medrasha. In other words, if he had spent money to go to the Beis Medrash and find out what the halacha is, he would have known that if you leave this animal for a 24-hour period of time, means, let's say, it fell at 10 o'clock on Monday morning, so you wait till 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, you wait the 24-hour period of time, and if the animal doesn't die during that period of time, so then you're allowed to go and shecht it. So then, if he had only, quote, taken a kav's worth of kimcha, taking a small amount of money to travel to the Beis Medrash, he would have saved himself a huge amount of loss. The entire ox, lo afsa de l'Torah, the shava kama kabe. How much more is this ox worth? How many more kabim of flour is this ox worth? If he only had taken the time to learn this halacha and gone to the Beis Medrash to ask what the answer is, so then he would have saved himself a lot of money. New bottom line is, Rav Nachman says that this ox that fell only six tefachim is considered to be misukan. It could die. Now that goes against what we just said. But what do you see from here? Amar k'sav Rav Nachman, yesh chavata b'pachas mi'asar. You see, the Rav Nachman holds that you can die over here. There can be a chavata even if it's less than 10 tefachim. Moreh says, wait a second. Esav roel Rav Nachman. Rav says, Rav Nachman, hay b'chus mi'asar tefachim v'no falu sochu shoru chamar umeis pater. But we learned in our Mishnah that says if you fell a distance that's less than 10 tefachim, then you're not going to be held liable for misa. So why? My timer, la mishum de les bechavata. Isn't it because you don't have a sufficient trauma from falling from such a distance? So we turn to nun aleph umar aleph. So Rav Nachman answers back, lo, that's not the case. Mishum de les bechavala. The din is because of chavala. I hold like Rav that if you don't have the chavala, then you're not chayiv over here for misa if it doesn't have the chavala. However, there is still chavata, so the animal would be mesukan, but he holds, the top Rashi tells us, Abo Chavata is Beva Filu Hochi Patri Kirav. He holds like Rav that you're only Chayiv if there's Havola. But the animal still is considered a Treifa. The animal still is potentially, if it doesn't survive for 24 hours, is not going to be able to be Shechted. Where questions this and says, wait a second, if what Rav Nachman is telling us is right, then who's Akbo Chayiv? If the animal was damaged but didn't die, so then why should there be a Chayiv? Unless we have Havola. Same thing that we said before. There isn't Havola there. So where says, no, Hamalei. Rav Nachman is the same answer we gave before. Ain't Hevel Misa, v'yesh Hevel Nizokin. We don't have Hevel for Misa, but we do have Hevel for Nizokin. Okay, this is a long shir. I would have wanted to go ideally to the Mishnah, but we'll stop over here. We'll continue questioning this tomorrow, but with this we'll conclude today's shir.